Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to give you this to think about as you're finding 2 Peter chapter 3. If it is seldom found in women and never found in men, what is it? Oh, hush. I went to work for the Walmart stores as a management trainee after graduating from college. Kim and I had been married a year. She knew then that I had no patience. In the course of the training, I worked in every part of the store for a week or more. While I was training in what was known then as the cash office, one of the things that I did was prepare bank deposits. Well, one Saturday morning, I'm counting up, you know, every register had its own amount and own totals, and one of the assistant managers came up and just talked to me for a minute. And when I got finished then and tried to make the amounts from each drawer balance to the amount of the deposit, I was off. I was way off. Well, the assistant manager knew that was going to happen, and he did it to make a point. When doing that kind of work, avoid distractions. As you go about your life, do you avoid distractions? 2 weeks ago, we looked at Micah 6, understanding that the Lord is concerned about your relationship with Him, but also other people. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with the Lord. Last week, we looked at Colossians 3, where Paul pointed out the practical matters of giving away your life, your time. What is your purpose in life? This week, we look at the virtue that should be evident in your life. The follower of Jesus avoids distractions by patiently persevering in their walk with Christ. So we're going to look at patience. We're going to look at perseverance. Are you avoiding distractions? 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1. Peter writes, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.' For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will be melted with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Avoid distractions. Avoid distractions by renewing your confidence in God's involvement in the world. God is not through with his creation. Peter was preparing them for the onslaught of mockers, scoffers, who deny God's involvement in the world. And if you have any doubt that what he was talking about then hasn't come to fruition, then you just need to pick up a magazine or listen to some of the shows or whatever on television or on the radio. Because the world is full of mockers. The world is full of scoffers who say that there is no God and that he doesn't care. And they will deny the second coming of Christ. And since nothing has happened, they say nothing will. You know, we're kind of like that as humans, aren't we? I remember when I was a kid. Do you remember when you were a kid and your mom or dad said, "Now I'm going to be at the school to pick you up." And if they were 30 seconds late, what did you think? "Well, they're not coming for me." We all do that. And Peter is saying to us, don't listen to these people who say that Jesus is not coming. He is coming. And he stresses that the world exists because God commanded it. He spoke it into existence. He didn't go into his shop and look around for bits and pieces of this or that or the other and start working. He spoke it all into existence. He talks about how it was formed by water, and then it was destroyed by water. But there's coming a time, he said, when it was going to be destroyed by fire, because God is still involved in the world. And Peter says, remember what the Old Testament says. And what Jesus said is reported by the apostles. Jesus is coming again. Don't be distracted. If you listen to the news and think about all that's happening in your life and in your world and the whole world, and you think, "Oh God, where are you?" He's got it. He's got it. He's still involved. He's still involved. And you and I ought not get distracted by whatever's happening. And Peter stressed God's coming judgment upon the wicked of this world. Even though the scoffers and those who deny it do deny it. The very existence of the world shows God's intervention. If he destroyed the world once, he can destroy the world again. The opponent's view is one of two views. That there was not a creator. That the world just somehow happened. You know, we really can't figure that out. We really can't explain it, but you know, it just happened. Or others will say that he did create it, but he walked away and does not care. Can I say to you, both of those views are wrong? Because God is still involved. South Carolina used to have a U.S. senator. He held his seat for 50-some years. Long past, some would say, his effectiveness. But Strom Thurmond did so because he built his career taking care of his constituents, being involved in their lives. Once a letter was written to another senator asking for him to intercede for someone in need, and the senator replied that he was so busy with the needs of humanity that he had no time for an individual. Never, never, never would have Strom Thurmond said such a thing. And certainly God would not say such a thing. He is involved with humanity and also with the individual. My devotional reading this morning talked about how those who say that there is no God and listed a whole 8 or 10 well-known philosophers and speakers and all the and writers and all this. And he said one of the things that they all have in common is that they had fathers who abandoned them or whose relationship with their children was not what it should have been. And I thought, oh man, isn't that the truth? But the debate of creation science versus evolution being taught in school keeps going. It always will be a fiercely debated and contested subject. Evolutionists and most of the masses of people desperately want evolution to be true because it is a mindless, purposeless theory. They are following after their own lust, and they don't want the idea that there is a creator that's going to judge us. But Peter says, there is, and you better be ready for it. This idea of admitting that there was a rational, caring, wise first cause opens the door to the fact that he is still intimately concerned and involved in his creation. Make no mistake about it. The continuance of this earth does not depend on what kind of car you drive, or how much water you use, or whether you take the little fluorescent light bulbs that burn out every once in a while in your house and take them to the recycling center so it can be recycled properly, or just throw it in the bin. It doesn't matter. Because the continued existence of this earth depends on the Creator and what He's going to do. But God also wants to be intimately involved in your life. He knows your hurts. He knows your joys. He knows your challenges. Are you allowing Him to be involved in your life? I find it ironic when someone laments that God did not stop something from happening when they don't want His involvement when everything is going the way they think it should. God is involved. God wants to be involved in your life. Avoid the distractions. Avoid distractions by understanding God's timing is different than ours. Don't ever doubt God. Remember what He said. The Lord does not reckon time like we do. Peter said, to Him 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. He is timeless. He is transcendent. We are bound by time. God is eternal. We are temporal. The opponents seem to stress that the time for Jesus to return had passed. And truly, some of the early apostles really did think that He was coming back. I mean, not like, but right then. Well, if He hadn't come, He's not coming. It's kind of like what I meant when I said, you know, I remember thinking my mom said she'll be there to pick me up, and she's not coming. She's late. And Peter is saying, no. Don't be distracted by that. You know when time begins for most people? The day they're born. And that's really true. Talk to people. Ask them about what they think about what happened in 1861 or 1832 or something. Well, I don't know. Because time begins when we are born, and Peter is saying God's timing is different than ours. Remember this too, that He does not forget His promises. He will come. He will judge. Any slowness is grace. Any slowness is patience to the rebellious. He delays to give one more opportunity for someone to repent, to give up their right to themselves. Whether that be repentance from false teaching or repentance leading to salvation, God does not want any to die apart from Him. And if I'm speaking to you this morning because you're in church and you think, well, you know, that's enough, isn't it? No, he wants a personal relationship with you. And the threshold to enter that personal relationship is confession and repentance. And it is so hard. It is so hard. It is so hard to admit that we're wrong. And that's what repentance is all about. Then Peter makes it clear, the Lord will return. Just like a thief, we don't know when. We don't know exactly how necessarily, but it's going to happen with cataclysmic change. Because judgment is coming and complete change will occur. We just don't know when. We can't predict it. But because God's timing is different than ours. I realized I had grown up a little bit when I began to understand phrases used in conversation like the other day or the other week or a while back. I remember listening to my parents talk when I was some of these guys' ages. And they'd say, you know, the other day, well, you know, the other day to me was yesterday at that point in my life. And a while back was 5 minutes ago. All those kinds of things. And I realized when I began to understand what someone means, that I realized I had grown up a little bit when I began to understand what someone means if they use those things. Because when you're 5 years old, your idea of time, and when you're 35 years old, that idea of time is different. Just as God's time and our time is different. Are you ready for that day of judgment? Are you ready for the day of the Lord? Or do you keep putting off repentance? Well, I'll do that next week. Well, I'll do that tomorrow. You know, there's just things going on in my world that don't put it off. Or do you keep putting off repentance, total dedication, because you think you have plenty of time? You know, the Lord may not come back, and you know, and I'm only this old, and I've got till... Really? You're sure of that? You're sure that you have another day? You're sure that you have another year? I want to say to you that you can't be sure. Let today be the day. When I think about time and how we think about time, let me tell you, I don't remember every message I've ever heard other preachers preach, but I'll never forget the message that Mark Harris preached from this very pulpit whenever it was 4 or 5 years ago when he said, do you know when revival's going to occur? He said, it's not going to occur when we begin to pray. Revival is going to occur when we become desperate. And you tell me what you're desperate about today. My guess is not much. And I am challenging us to become desperate. We have opportunity to go into two of the elementary schools in this community. Am I going to be watching to see that the same 4 or 5 people are going to go to both schools when God has plenty of people that just need to step up and say, I will go. I'll take Tuesday or I'll take Thursday or I'll be here. There was something, just totally out of random thought. There was something I saw just the other day. They said, why is it in church that we gripe about the length of the service or the temperature or all this stuff, but we don't gripe about the prayer rooms being empty or the baptism being dry? Because we're not desperate. May we become desperate because we don't know God's timing. We don't know God's timing. We need to be patient. We need to persevere. And we need to not listen to anybody says, I know the date. Follow me. Because they don't. They don't. Avoid distractions. Avoid distractions and live for Christ now. Follow Jesus. It's real simple sounding. Follow Jesus. Think like, act like, and become like Christ. There it is. We are not to be caught off guard. We are to be ready. Well, in light of this coming judgment and destruction, how should you live? Peter mentions three aspects of the actions or behavior of a believer. First is holy conduct. Behavior that shows that you are set apart for God. A couple weeks ago, did World Changers. What I wore most every morning, pant-wise, was what I would have been wearing in the office a year or two or 5 years before that. And let me tell you, my work pants and my office pants are completely different, even though they both started out the same. And you could tell, man, one of the pair of pants that I was wearing had what we affectionately term paint boogers. Now, if you don't like the use of that term, then I apologize. It's my son's fault. I was helping my oldest son paint part of his house, and he was using paint that had been opened and used. It was a 5-gallon bucket. Well, some of it had started to set. Well, when I would find one of those, or off the wall or out of the, I would just smear it all over my pants. Well, let me tell you, sometimes I'm afraid that we look at our lives like I look at my clothing. That if I've ever made a mistake, I might as well just give up, you know, and start wiping stuff on it. Can I say to you that no matter what God has finds you, what condition he finds you in, that he is calling you to holy conduct? That it matters? That it matters? The second thing he says is that we are to live a godly life, that godliness, a devotion, a piety, a life of worship. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 12. He says that we are to present our lives, our bodies, as a living sacrifice. When you go out of here, you are to live a life of worship. When you go to work in the morning or whatever you do tomorrow, you're to live a life of worship. And then Peter says that we're to live a life of expectancy. We're always to be prepared. We're always looking for something to occur. We're always looking for what God is doing. And then we're going to be ready to join him there. We are to live for Christ now. Peter said these new heavens and the new earth we desire and anticipate should dictate how we live now. Because if it's going to happen, and it is going to happen, and we don't know when, we need to be ready now, but we're going to live in light of what's going to happen. Because he is coming, and the new heavens and the new earth are coming. We're to be ready for that. If you say you have a relationship with Christ but don't live like it, may I suggest to you that maybe you don't really have a relationship with him? Because a relationship with Christ is to redefine every part of our life. Let me tell you, my relationship with that lady that's sitting up in the choir redefines my relationship with every other woman in this place. And that's the way, because I'm a believer in Christ, it is to redefine my relationship with everyone else. Peter said, be diligent about these things. Live for Christ now. Be on your guard against false teachers. Be steadfast. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Be patient. Persevere. We are to live for Christ now. When I parted ways with Walmart, I went to work in a greenhouse. It wasn't a couple, 3 weeks after I'd been there, and it was a startup, and the owner of the company had hired this grower, and the grower had hired me, and I used to say that my responsibility started at the grower's office door, because he was taking care of everything else, and I was taking care of the people. Well, it wasn't long after that I started into seminary extension. Southwestern had a seminary extension at Shawnee, Oklahoma, Oklahoma Baptist University. And so this is how my weeks would go. I would go in Monday morning to the greenhouse and spend a couple hours, and I would tell the 6 or 8 or 10 people that were working under me, this is what I need you to do. They called them punch lists, and so I'd give them their punch list. And then I would go drive 2 hours to school, get there by 10 or 11 in the morning. I would change clothes in the car. I did wait till I was on a 2-lane highway. But I was driving down the road, changing shoes, changing pants. Now, you got to be good to be able to do that. I would go to class all afternoon then, drive home. The rest of the week, I'd work at least 40 hours a week. I was trying to be a husband and a father then of 2 little boys. It's a good thing I was young. But you know what was interesting was? I began to notice that the people working under me got more done on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday than they seemed to on Monday. What do you think that was? Well, they knew that nobody was going to be checking on them. But on Tuesday through Friday, I might wander through at any time. How do you look at Christ coming again? Well, that'll happen. It could be today. Oh, please, Lord, come today. Please, come today. It might be today. But which way are you living your life today? As if it were Monday or another day of the week. Think over every aspect of your life. Are you following Jesus? Are you intentional about following Jesus? Are you more worried about what is permissible or allowable? Or are you concerned about holiness and godliness? Are we not reaching the world because we're not enough like the world? Or are we not reaching the world because we're too much like the world? What are you doing to grow in Christ? Does your thought life honor Christ? Does your family see a side of you that other people don't? Are you the same at home as you are at church? How are you known at work? It was interesting through the years, another place that I worked in college was this manufacturing place. Man, I didn't know a soul in there in any way. I just remember hearing the guys talk about, oh, he goes to church. He tries to be, you know. And you may get that if you're still in the work world. You may get that, but how are you there? Are your business dealings above reproach? Are you careful to be discerning about what you hear preachers say and predict? Are you living each day as if this could be the day? Well, the answer's been given, but what is seldom found in women and never in men? Patience. Perseverance. The virtue that our lives should show, that your life should show, is patience, perseverance, the ability to stay with something. Because that's what God is calling us to. We're to be long-suffering is another word that is used to translate it. Persevere in doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with the Lord. Persevere in giving your life away through your relationships, through your walk with Christ. Persevere. Stay with it. Can I be like a cheerleader this morning, cheering you on? Stay with it. Are you? Are you avoiding distractions? Are you confident in God's involvement in your life, in the world? Do you understand His timing is different than yours? Are you living for Christ now?